So we're going to continue with our Advent series called Advent Unwrapped. Advent Unwrapped. Last week we talked about the symbols of Advent, i.e. the wreath that cradles the candles, representing eternal life, is used to figuratively commemorate the hope of renewal, the newness of life, and the death, resurrection, ascension, and glorification of the promised Messiah. The evergreen color signifies God's promise of everlasting life that we receive when we believe in Christ as Lord and Savior. The three purple candles represent hope, peace, and love, respectively. The purple color represents royalty, because Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We also talked about the pink candle representing joy and not love, and the white candle, also called the Christ candle, representing the purity and holiness of Christ. But today we are going to explore one of the themes of Advent in a subject that I've entitled Joyful Anticipation. Joyful Anticipation, from Luke chapter 2, verse 25 to 38. So if you came with your Bible this morning, could you please quickly come with me to the Gospel according to Luke and chapter number 2. We are going to read verses 25 to 38. As a tradition, once you find it, please rise to your feet in honor of the reading of God's word, if you can. The Bible says in the New King James, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.' Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of a tribe of Asher. She was advanced in age and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, who did not depart from the house of God, serving with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem." May the Lord add a blessing to the public reading of his word this morning. You may be seated. And God bless you. Waiting, waiting, waiting. The word waiting means to stay put in a place of expectation for something or for someone, or to look forward with hope to be ready and available in anticipation of a physical or spiritual experience. I'm sure we are all quite familiar with the verb waiting. In the real world, we spend half of our lives waiting. We have waiting rooms and waiting lines. We wait to be seated in a busy restaurant, and we wait for the traffic lights to turn green. At the doctor's office, we wait for an hour or so for our turn to see the doctor for just a little over 10 minutes, if you're lucky. At the registry, we have now been preconditioned to grab a ticket number and wait to be called upon. And at the hardware and grocery stores, we wait to check out. We also wait for at least 28 minutes in security lines whenever we travel. 21 minutes for a significant other to get ready to go out the door. Those who take the bus or train, we wait about 27 days of their lives at bus stops or train stops. Now, waiting can be like one of the following illustrations. See if you identify with any one of them. Faced waiting in anxiety, uncertainty, and frustration. Now, I want you to imagine with me that you are standing in line at the post office or the grocery or hardware store, waiting for your turn to either go in, now that we have COVID and social distance, or to check out. You are tapping your foot and keep looking at your watch. You don't want to be in this line, do you? The impatience or irritability that you feel can now even be seen on your face because you are fidgety and very impatient. Now, such an experience of waiting in line can be anxiety-inducing and emotionally painful, especially if you have another appointment to go to. Second, you have an option to wait in joyful anticipation. Waiting in joyful anticipation. Now, think about the times when you waited in line at an amusement park to go on a roller coaster ride, or to buy tickets to see your favorite hockey team play at the Stanley Cup Finals. Can you imagine how you anticipated to see your favorite team play and you didn't mind waiting? You didn't mind waiting a little longer for you to be on that line and buy the tickets. You were excited anyway. Now, notice that in this instance, the waiting is very different. It's not like waiting in line to check out. You are tired and you just want to go home. you and other people in the line are excited, and you might even be talking about the experience that you are about to have. Because you might be saying, I've been wanting to come to the Stanley Cup for years, all my life, and now here is a chance for me to see some of the players that I like play in the finals. Might have taken them 25 years to get to the finals, because it's not easy. And finally, you can see the Grizzly Bears play, and you are so excited and elated because of your team. So you don't mind waiting, do you? However, I would like to say one thing. The second illustration of us waiting is what we've been called to by God, especially in the season of Advent. In other words, we're supposed to wait with joyful expectation for our Savior. We are reminded of our Savior's first coming. But right now, we are looking forward to his second coming. And we are reminded about that during the Advent season as we wait. Advent is not only a season of joy, but one of watching, waiting, and hoping for the coming of Christ. Now, Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Amplified says, awaiting and confidently expecting the fulfillment of our blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Titus reminds us that during Advent, we wait in joy, hope, and anticipation for the return of Christ. This waiting is far from empty. Instead, it is full of hope and faith in the promises of God. We are excited. We are looking forward to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't mind waiting. As we wait, we are encouraged by the scriptures to hang in there, to hold on, because the coming of Jesus will be glorious. I can't wait to see the Messiah appear in the skies. I can't wait to see evil come to an end. I can't wait for the devil to be punished by God. I can't wait for evil and death to be thrown into the lake of fire. I'm looking forward to that. Now, for many years, the children of Israel had been waiting for a Messiah to come. In their understanding, he would be a mighty military man and powerful king. He would defeat and destroy all the enemies and oppressors of the children of Israel. He will restore peace to Israel and make them great and powerful again. But alas, the Messiah delayed to their disappointment. They, however, continued anticipating and waiting with hope by the encouragement of the priests and the prophets. But since they had been waiting for so long, most of them gave up hope and stopped waiting. They forgot about God's promises to Abraham and David about the Messiah, while others died in their sins, waiting for him long before he came to earth. You see, saints, some of the children of Israel didn't precisely wait well. Not all waiting is acceptable in the sight of God. And the children of Israel did not precisely wait well for the timing of God. They refused to keep God's commandments and covenants with them. They forgot the miraculous works God performed to save them from Egypt and in the wilderness. They grumbled against Moses and God in the desert. For example, were there not enough graves in Egypt that you brought us here to come and die at the hands of Pharaoh? They rejected and killed the prophets sent by God to call Israel to repentance. God eventually vowed that they would not enter into his rest, and they died on a journey as a consequence. Finally, he gave them up to their evil desires, and they worshipped idols and did what was right in their own sight. They had no fear for God, and they oppressed the poor and the widow and the orphans, the underprivileged, the voiceless. And then came the 400 years of silence, the events between the Old Testament and the New Testament. For 400 years, God was silent and did not speak to Israel through the prophets. The voice and the revelation of God was scarce. God went mute. Consequently, Israel was no more the feared, powerful nation they used to be, who were conquering nations on their way to the promised land. They had been humiliated, decimated by wars and captivity, military occupations, and oppression. Eventually, Rome, the superpower, occupied Israel under Caesar Augustus. He ruled over many parts of the world. Like other nations, the Israelites paid incredibly high taxes to finance the Roman Empire, which had become too big to govern. The Romans crushed the revolt of the children of Israel with a heavy blow, lots of casualties. So Israel is hopeless, powerless, and languishing. Their religion seemed empty and useless. They worshipped a God who had abandoned them and seemed uncaring. God is no longer moved by our untold suffering and desperate prayers for help from us, they lamented. No wonder many gave up hope and stopped anticipating the coming of the Messiah. They worshipped idols and participated in demonic sacrifices and immorality. And when the Messiah finally showed up, they could not recognize him, so they rejected him. John's gospel says he was in the world, but though the world was made through Christ, the world did not recognize him. Even his own people did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And you find that in John chapter 1, verse 10 to 11. And then verse 12 says that to them who welcomed and received Jesus, he gave the power to them to become sons and daughters, children of the Most High God. Whether you were Gentile, Greek, or you were a Jew, if you put your faith in Jesus, you will be given the power by God to be called a child of the Most High God. And you will inherit eternal life prepared for you since the beginning, the Bible says. However, in our text, we meet two people who did not give up hope. Two people who had not forgotten about the promises of the Messiah by God. A man called Simeon and a lady called Anna. I want you to know, beloved, that God we permanently preserve a faithful, believing remnant of people who will do his will even in the darkest of times. We see that beautifully illustrated in the lives of Simeon and Anna from our text. First, Simeon. Who is Simeon? The Bible says Simeon was a righteous and devout man. And he was looking for the consolation of Israel, which refers to the coming of the Messiah and Redeemer, Deliverer, if you'd like. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit was upon him, and he revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Christ. Simeon kept the hope up, hoping each and every day. He was waiting, anticipating, and preparing for the fulfillment of the promise of the Messiah all his life. Guided by the Holy Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. He prayed and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." In his prayer, Simeon said, "This child would offer salvation of people all over the world. He would be the glory and centerpiece of God's people." He also said, "Jesus is the light that will reveal God to the nations. He is also destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him, especially from the religious establishment of a time. Consequently, God will reveal the deepest thoughts of many hearts, and a sword will pierce your very soul, Mary." There was also a lady named Anna. She obeyed God's word in worshiping God for the promised Messiah as a thrill of hope that will cause a weary world to rejoice. We read about Anna's story in our text. She was married as a young woman. She was with her husband for 7 years and he passed away. Ever since then, she remained a widow. By press time, she was 84 years old. Our text says she stayed at the temple day and night. She relied on the compassion and care of others for her daily needs. And she faithfully worshiped God in prayer and fasting. In prayer and fasting. She was also waiting for the promised Messiah to remove the barrier between humanity and God and reconcile them to God. When I stopped to think about the implication of this story in our lives, it led me to a very obvious question. What are we waiting and hoping for this Christmas? What are we longing for and anticipating for God to do in us and through us as a body of Christ? Are we eagerly waiting, expecting, and joyfully anticipating the day of our redemption? The Bible says, when you see all the signs of rumors of wars and floods and pestilences, and when you see destruction of the temple, Jerusalem, rejoice, because the day of your redemption draws nigh. So the world has become unsettled. But for us who believe in Christ, we ought to rejoice, because we know that our redemption draws nigh each and every day. If you have to suffer, saints, then suffer for being a follower of Christ, not as an evildoer. If you have to cry, then cry as a man or woman who is waiting for the second coming of the Lord and looking forward to it day in and day out. Your waiting is not in vain. It shall be rewarded. We are not like the world, because our hope is in the coming of Christ. He is our blessed hope. Put your trust in him. David in Psalm 27 verse 4 encourages us to wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, I must admit that waiting is easy said than done. Waiting on the Lord is not easy. It takes the help, the comfort, the peace of the Lord to actually be courageous enough to wait on the Lord. On the other hand, waiting for some of us can feel like unproductive time or passivity. But if you are waiting in the Lord, your waiting is not wasting time. It is not in vain. Keep on waiting, praying, and fasting if you can, seeking the face of God when he can be found, because time is coming when God will not be found. They will seek and they will not find. But right now we can seek and find. Now, waiting is an active connection with God through prayer, worship, and reflection, expecting the Savior to come. It is anchored in faith, hope, and trust in God. And that's why the world cannot make sense why you are waiting. You are hoping. The world cannot see what you are waiting for, because we have been promised in God's word to put our trust in the Lord as Jesus prepares to come. Now, do not be moved by what you are seeing around you, because it's like being on the road, driving down the street, and you come to a stoplight. It says to stop for you, but on the other side of the road, it says green to go. Others, it's yellow. But do not look around to see what other people are doing, because it says red for you. And when it says green, it's time for you to move, and it will say red on the other side. But if you are getting your cues from the other side, you will be wrong. You will drive at the wrong time, and you will be involved in an accident. So don't look around what the world is doing, what the Joneses are doing, or what is going on around you. What is God saying to you as an individual? What is the witness of the Holy Spirit in your heart? Down in your gut, what is God saying to you as a family, as a church body? And when is the time when we are going to seek the will of God for a difference? Instead of going with our feelings or our own ingenuity and wisdom, let's not look around. Keep your eyes on the light. When it says green, it's time to go. When it says red, it's time for you to stop. Let the voice of God speak to your heart. That will make a difference in your heart. That's a bonus. It was not in my notes. Praise God. Let's move on. Now, waiting on the Lord is an essential discipline of your Christian life. Anna and Simeon show us that waiting on the Lord can also be a time of preparation and a time of blessing. While waiting, Simeon listened to the Holy Spirit, while Anna faithfully worshipped God day and night. She fasted and prayed earnestly. She never stopped believing in God's promises and character. Waiting on the Lord, saints, is an essential part of our faith and relationship with God. It requires us to put aside our way of doing things and trust God in His timing, in His wisdom, and in His plan. Actually, waiting on the Lord makes us stronger in our faith. Turn your Bibles, if you could, please, to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Then the Bible says, "But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And that is what waiting on the Lord in hope is going to do for you. In waiting, we endure, we grow, we mature, and we learn to submit ourselves to a faithful God. We also learn patience and humility. And remember, patience and humility are part of the fruit of the Spirit. And in closing, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 to 3, if you can please turn your Bibles there. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord." The key is waiting patiently on the Lord. It might seem like unproductive time, and some of the people might be even mad with you because you are not moving according to their expectation. But as long as you're listening to God, if God says wait, stay put. And if God says go, please do. Follow the leadership of your spirit. Even when you are in despair, when you are in darkness, when everybody is confused and they don't know what to do, listen to the voice of God and obey the voice of God as you patiently wait on Him day and night. Let's pray together. God, our eternal Father, we thank you in the season of Advent, because it reminds us to examine our hearts and align ourselves with your divine will and purpose. Help us, Lord, in this season of waiting, to wait patiently and to put our hope and trust in the Lord, believing the scriptures, adding our faith to what the voice of the Spirit is saying to our hearts. Help us to act upon it in obedience to God. And may the fruit of the Spirit be so evident in our lives, in everything that we do here on earth. May we be light in darkness. May we be filled with joy, love, and peace when everybody is in despair, because we put our trust, our hope, in a God who will never disappoint us. Help us to wait according to the will of God, not to lose heart, but to be courageous, to pursue the will of God no matter what, and joyfully look forward to the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For when he comes, he will bring our redemption with him. We rejoice in the promise of the coming of Jesus. For he will come as Lord of lords and King of kings to judge the living and the dead, and help us to prepare our hearts for that. Our prayer this morning is that as we part company, the blessings of God will go before us, and that you bless the work of our hands. And in everything that we do, may we live for you, Lord. And may we make a difference for the kingdom of God. Because we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And somebody in the house said amen.